Well, good morning.
Good morning.
No, I was hoping for a little better. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be with you this morning, and thank you so much for the music. The deep love of Jesus, yeah, it reaches vile people and it reaches religious people. The deep love of Jesus, it reaches the self-righteous people and it reached me. It reached me. Praise God for that this morning. And I do praise God that it's reached you too. This morning, I'm going to invite you to turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Romans chapter 16. This is not an easy passage. The passage in Romans 16 deals with a lot of names. It deals with a lot of lists. And if you have a chapel Bible, you can turn with me there to page 1309. If you're using a chapel Bible, I want you to know that this is the end of the book of Romans. Romans is a great book in God's Word. You've been studying this book. What a powerhouse of a book. Practical truths about how the righteous live by faith. How we're not declared righteous because of Moses. We're not declared righteous because of the law. That I can't get myself to be righteous. It's not based on the works of my hands or the intellect of my mind or the works of my hands or the heritage of my birth. It's based on the faith of my heart. It's based on the finished work of what Jesus did. And that's really exciting. The Apostle Paul is ending this letter now. And he's writing from Corinth, Greece. And he's going to send this letter with a woman named Phoebe. He's going to send this letter to Rome. And in this last passage, he is going to greet the lists of all these names. Now, Jim assigns these texts. And here he says, will you give us the message on Romans 16? Yes, of course. And I open up to Romans 16 to find all of these names. Names I can't really pronounce. We come to the list of these names. Most of these people, we know nothing else about. 35 names. So what are we supposed to do with all this today? What spiritual food is here today? How am I supposed to make a connection to you today? So we just move on. What's the next series? You should just close with a word of prayer. Listen, I teach fifth grade boys and girls for a living. And each year, we take a class trip, or we have anyway. And one year, we went to the Morris Museum. It's a lot of work, getting permission slips and lunches and all that organized. And we get to the Morris Museum, we get in there, and the tour guide brings us into the gallery. And here we are, 150 kids and teachers standing around. Here are all the portraits, kids. Frameless heads on nameless walls. Let's go to each one of them one at a time. Let me tell you something. Let's make inferences about this Romanian woman over here. And after about 5 minutes of that, the kids get to be rambunctious. And the teacher in charge who made the whole thing happen, excuse me, but these boys are being very disrespectful. You need to pay careful attention to this Romanian woman whose head hangs on this wall. And I'm sort of standing there with my arms crossed, and I'm thinking, you know, this is brutal. This is brutal. All these kids want to do is go to the gift shop. They don't want to listen to this or to them. And then we're going to take the gallery walk all around, but we'll do it out of respect. Okay. Listen, this morning, I am not going to take you on a gallery walk around these 35 names. Now, if you enjoy names and if you enjoy genealogies, do it. Yes. And is there low-hanging fruit? Yes. But today, instead, what I'd like to do is I'd like to have the opportunity to make some observations. Observations. These 35 names. Who were these people? Well, most of them were blue-collar workers. Most of them were not well-to-do. One or two upper class. Most uneducated. Some were servants, some were slaves. So what brings them all together? Rome is populated with thousands and thousands of people. He's going to reference Paul as 35 people. What brings them together? Is it some kind of equity plan that rolls out of Congress? Is it some kind of mindful method that we're supposed to teach the boys and girls that brings harmony to everybody? What is it, or who is it, that draws these people together from all different walks of life? Who is it that makes this complete? Well, it's none other than the Lord. We belong to the Lord. The deep love of Jesus reached these 35 people. They belong to the Lord. So the first observation I want to mention to you is that the fact that Paul writes this, he's going to mention 11 times that they belong to the Lord, or they are the Lord's. So look at this with me, please. In Romans 16 and verse 2, Phoebe, what about her? She is in the Lord. Verse 3, Priscilla and Aquila, fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, Andronicus and Junia, who are they? They are in Christ before me, he says. Verse 8, Amplius, what about him? He's in the Lord. Verse 9, Urbanus, what about her? She's in Christ. Verse 10, Apelles, what about him? Approved in Christ. Verse 11, the house of Narcissus, what about them? They are in the Lord. Verse 12, these twin girls, Tryphena and Tryphosa. I mean, really? Tryphena and Tryphosa, what about them? They labored in the Lord. Verse 12, Persis, what about him? He labored in the Lord. Verse 13, Rufus, what about him? He was chosen in the Lord. Verse 22, Tertus, what about him? He's in the Lord. Look, I don't know any of these names. Phoebe, I know Priscilla and Aquila, but I don't know these names. Except that they're in the Lord. So the first observation is how important it is to be in the Lord. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says that there's no condemnation to those who are in the Lord. There's no condemnation. There's no more judgment. God is not going to be angry at me for the things that I've done here, because of what Jesus has done in my place. Now, he doesn't say that there is no consequence. Yeah, there's consequences for my actions. Of course there are. But there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Right? We've got to drink that in. We've got to live in the light of that. And how does this chapter end? He's going to say there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. How come? Because we're in the Lord. Because we belong to the Lord. Are these 35 people wealthy? One or two. Are they educated? Not really. Are they male or female? There's nine female. It doesn't matter to Paul. It doesn't matter to God. What makes it important is whether or not they are in the Lord. Listen, friends, the benefits of being in the Lord. Benefits. When I sat for the observation, when I sat at school, I would just want you to sign this contract. Here are your benefits. You have three personal days. But you can't take them, you know, to tag on the Easter vacation, or you'll get docked. You have Aetna health insurance. What's the other benefits? Well, you get this pension if it is still there when you retire. Think about the benefits that come with belonging to the Lord. What are they? Psalm chapter 103 says, "Bless the Lord and don't forget his benefits." What are the benefits? He forgives all your sin. He redeems you from the pit. He crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desire with good things. So far as the east is from the west. So far as the east is from the west, he's removed your transgression from you. There's no condemnation. There's no judgment. There's no penalty. There's nothing but grace for those who are in the Lord. Friends, in 1952, this chapel was established. This chapel was acknowledged or recognized. And the two main leaders, right? Mom's going to have to correct me on this. But the two main leaders, one was a dentist. He went to medical school, years and years and years of school. One was an electrician. He never went to school, like, after high school. I don't even know if he graduated high school. Both in the Lord. Both labored for the Lord. What's important about them? They labored in the Lord. 35 names on this list. Paul is in Corinth. He is writing to Rome. He wants to acknowledge these 35 names.
most of whom he has never met.
I look around this room. There's about 35 of us, real people. So tell me, what are they going to say about me? And what are they going to say about you? What is it really that's so important? That I graduated college in 4 years and it took you 5? That I really stacked the 529 college savings plan? That I could throw a ball or... No. It's that I belong to the Lord. It's that the grace of God reached me. We talk a lot in the world about diversity. The Lord Jesus reaches every race and every class. Self-righteous people and religious people and vile people. He brings them all together in one body. That's called the church, right? The church isn't this building. The church is the people. We're all different here. You know, there were two apostles that Jesus called. Just try to follow this for a minute. One of them was Matthew. What did he do? Matthew was a Jewish man who collected Jewish taxes and gave the taxes to Rome, and I'm sure he skimmed off the top. He sort of was a little shady. He's a Jew collecting taxes from Jews to turn over to Rome. Jesus calls Matthew. He says, leave this tax seat. Come and follow me. Forget this. And Matthew does. And who does he meet? Another apostle. His name is Simon the Zealot. Who is Simon the Zealot? Simon the Zealot was a rough dude. He was like a modern day terrorist. He hated Matthew the tax collector. He wouldn't understand, why would you do this? How could you do this? Matthew probably thought Simon was nuts. But together, they come together. And they turn the world upside down with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he does. Yesterday, our family went to a service for Lori Simpson, a memorial service. She was 59 years old. She died of COVID. And her sister, Larissa Cardone Simpson, she came here for a little while. She actually grew up at Terrell Road, and that family went to Timothy Christian School. And Toni Simpson, the mom, spoke at the memorial, and she said, you know, there's nothing greater for a mom than to know that her children belong to the Lord. There's nothing greater than that. You know, I don't have to meet anybody else. I don't have to visit some other place on my bucket list that somehow or another I've got to get here or meet or whatever. As a parent, how beautiful those words really are true for each one of us, right? The Bible says of Noah, he was a preacher of righteousness. He preached for 70 years. He told the known world that God was going to destroy the earth with water. And who got into that ark? His boys and their wives. That's all that listened to him. But he did it. He did it. So I want you to know, the first observation is that Paul is writing to those who are in the Lord. The second observation I want you to notice is that this early church is made up of people who know the Lord through his teaching. They unpack this book of Romans. We say, well, Romans is a very heavy-duty book, right? The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. Heavy verses in this book. Who is it written to? It's written to ordinary people. It's not written to theologians. It's not written to learned men. In big churches today, they say, oh, stay away from the teaching. Stay away from the doctrine, you know? You're going to divide with that. Just talk about practical living. Friends, there is nothing more practical than what's found in the book of Romans. Are you struggling with assurance? It's the book of Romans. Are you struggling with guilt? It's the book of Romans. Are you struggling with sin? It's the book of Romans. It's 11 chapters filled with practical teaching. And it's not just for intellectual theologians. It's an instructional book, as you've seen. A snapshot of what the early church looked like. Third observation, the Apostle Paul had a team. He was not the Lone Ranger. He had a team, and he loved people. He was not some stuffy academic, non-relational theologian who just sat around and wrote books. He loved people. He knew their names, and he knew their needs. Can I tell you this? I stink at names. Can I be honest with you? in fifth grade, June, I say goodbye to all the boys and girls. I do know their names. But in like October of the next year, they come back to say hi. Mostly the girls. Hi. Oh, hi. You're my girl. Do you know how many "you're my girls" I have in Turtle Middle School? 40. There's 40 different kids who come back that I say, "You're my best girl." And three of them showed up not too long ago. They said, "Mr. S," they said, "how am I your best girl and she's your best girl?" And then she asked this, "Do you know my name?" "Oh, of course. You know, it's a beautiful name. Oh, I love it. You know, how can I forget it? What is it?" "It's precious. It's just a precious name." Listen, I want you to know that Paul knew their names. And he identifies specifically people who were beloved to him. In verse 5, he says, "Greet Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Christ to me." This is the first convert in this location. "Greet Epaphroditus, my beloved." In verse 8, "Greet Urbanus and Stachys, my beloved." Verse 12, "Greet beloved Persis." Verse 13, I think this is my favorite verse in the whole chapter. He says, "Greet Rufus," and "Greet Rufus's mom." How come, Paul? He says, "She was like a mom to me." Friends, can you imagine the Apostle Paul saying that? "This woman was like a mother to me." You know, growing up here at Woodside Chapel, there were, and there are still, but I'm a grown-up now, so. There were women here who were like mothers to me. And when mom went for surgery, there were moms who came and picked me up when mom wasn't well enough to take care of me and took me to their home. They were like moms to me. And there are women here who are like moms, who come alongside and who help and who bear burdens. Sometimes the Apostle Paul is looked at as some chauvinist, you know. Isn't it Paul who says, "I suffer not a woman to speak"? That's so unkind, isn't it? Well, that's a different sermon. Our world wants so much of equality between men and women. It's men who dominate the Wall Street and the Congress and the good jobs. Listen, 2,000 years ago, in a Roman culture, if you had daughters, sorry, Charles, but if you had daughters, it wasn't exactly like looked at so highly. They were a financial responsibility, almost a burden. 9 of these names are women. And 4 of the 9 names, he says, they are the hard workers for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his kingdom. And the very first name is Phoebe. He mentions her. He's, what about her? She's a sister. She's a servant. She's a helper. She's the one who's going to carry this letter from Corinth, Greece to Rome. 35 names. The world looks at this and they say, these are insignificant people. Losers, outcasts, freaks, people who need a crutch in order to walk through life with. People that the world don't understand. The Apostle Paul says this, and he says it of you and me too. He says, our lives are hidden with God in Christ. The world doesn't understand why I'm here right now. I mean, I could be doing so many other things. My life is hidden with God in Christ. And when Christ, who is my life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. Friends, that's a great truth. And that's a present hope for each one of us. It's a present hope for each one of us. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have this well-known list. You know, it's a pleasure to speak. I didn't get that passage. Jim didn't give me the Hebrews chapter 11. With Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Rahab and Moses and David and all these heavy hitters. I didn't get that chapter. But in that chapter of that list, that Old Testament list, the writer to the Hebrews says, and there are many, many more names. that I want to tell you about. Those who are afflicted and cast out, those who are not understood and labored, those who are faithful. What about them? He says the world is not worthy of them. The world is not worthy of them. They surpass this world and the praise of men and the affirmation of people. So friends, I want you to know that this Romans chapter 16 list is not so far from you or me. It's not so far. One day the Lord Jesus is going to honor you. One day he's going to congratulate you. One day he's going to thank you that you labored here for him, and that you were faithful here for him, and that you trusted here in him. So these names are significant in heaven. And you're going to meet them. You're going to meet these folks one day. And they're going to listen to your name too. And they're going to listen to your journey too. And they're going to listen to your story too, and to your testimony too. The last observation is this. It says that this early church met in houses. They didn't meet in big buildings. Today, churches have these impressive names, you know. These big buildings with parking lots and smoke machines that introduce the pastor. You know, it's very telling. The early church came together in homes. In homes. Small pockets of believers came together to remember the Lord. They were very family-oriented, very intimate. This chapel's like that too. Very family-oriented and very intimate. And so on Christmas Eve growing up, I said, "Dad, we're going to church again. I mean, Dad, it is Christmas Eve. New Year's Eve. Church again." And Dad said, "You know, we get together on Christmas Eve and on New Year's Eve because there's a lot of folks who don't have a family like this. Because this chapel family is a really important family. And working together, we have the opportunity to serve and to live for the Lord." So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for these 35 names. And praise the Lord for those of us who know and love him and have the opportunity this week to serve him wherever he leads. The deep love of Jesus, it reaches vilest of people. It reached the Apostle Paul, right? But the deep love of Jesus, it reaches the self-righteous people and the immoral people. The deep love of Jesus, it reaches me. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for your lovely Son. We thank you so much that he came here on this great rescue mission and that he gave his life up so that we could be called the sons and daughters of God. And it is our desire that we would serve him this week and that we would be more in tune with what he loves and less in tune with the madness of this world. We do ask that he would come soon. And we pray that we would be found ready. Thank you for being so kind to us. And thank you for this chapel family, each one. We pray these things in your good name. Amen. Thank you.
You know, it turns out the drum has a sleep feature.
Well, I was thinking that. She may have played it a little bit, is that why?
Yeah, I'll show him. It's asleep again now. I just, because it's so quick and easy, I just
love
that
voice
right now.
Yeah.
There's a Mexican, and then there's